What's up, Lake Elsinore? I'm John Crispo.
And I'm Jason DeVore.
You're listening to Wool the Podcast, recorded in beautiful, sunny Lake Elsinore.
So with us today, we have the beautiful Miss Shadow Gray. And just like to start out by finding about you. Who are you? However you want to describe it.
Well, the beautiful Miss Shadow Gray was pretty good. I can't really beat that.
All right, so the end. That's it, right? That's how we end. There you go.
That pretty much sums me up.
That is a record. And the show's done.
Just kidding.
Shadow Gray really is my name. Usually people don't believe that. So we'll start with that. I'm an entrepreneur here in Lake Elsinore. Fairly new to Lake Elsinore. But what's up, Lake Elsinore? I love being here. Especially, even though the fires were a negative, it really showed me that I chose the right neighborhood and the right place to move to, because I really loved how this area really came together, and it showed me that I moved to the right place, and I'm really enjoying being here, and I like being a business owner here in Lake Elsinore.
That's awesome.
So, those of you who don't know you, what business do you own?
I own, among other businesses, but here in Lake Elsinore, I own Stingray Custom Pools.
Awesome. So what other businesses, though? You said outside Lake Elsinore.
I'm originally from the South Bay area. I own in Torrance, which is down by Redondo Beach in the coastal area of Los Angeles. I own a workers' compensation litigation firm called Medical Benefit Associates that I've owned for about 20 years. I have a staff of about 14 people that work full-time there, and I pretty much have to do the accounting and manage the business there, but I have people that run that business, and that one still operates full-time.
That's awesome.
And that's business one?
That business is one of the main businesses, and I also own and operate and have since the late 90s a nightclub that I've been operating for many,
yes.
many, yeah. that I've been operating for a long, long time, but that keeps me a little bit busy, that I still promote.
I used to work in clubs, so I know the busyness that goes into it. Obviously, probably not on your level, but just the everyday, day-to-day, ordering bar supplies, getting people in for the shift, covering shifts that are gone.
Yeah, for many, many years, for 18 of the 21 years, I actually owned venues, like you're talking about. Now I just promote events at other people's clubs.
Wow.
It's a lot easier. It's still a lot of work, but it's a lot easier than owning and operating venues, which is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What is the main difference? I'm like sitting over here. I have no idea. I'm not in that business at all, and I've never really even been to a club, I've got to say. But what is the difference? What does that mean? Promotion versus owning the building, or
when you own and operate the venue,
okay.
You actually have to staff the venue. You have to staff and supply the bar, buy the liquor, own the liquor license, staff the security. You have to man everything. You have to have all the licenses and insurance, and you have to literally operate the
production. Okay, got it.
On top of also promoting it and, you know, keeping it running and everything.
Okay.
When you are just promoting events, somebody else does all of those things, and you just run a night and promote that night.
Gotcha. And you prefer doing that more?
Absolutely. It allows me to operate my other businesses. My number one, 100%. Priority is Stingray Custom.
Yeah, I can tell. I know.
Sure.
I've seen you're like
at the Storm Stadium.
I was gonna say you're taking over the baseball stadium over there, giving away free iPads.
Yeah.
And I already know clients of mine who have given you a call have been very happy, so I can tell that's been a big priority for you. What does that look like from the start? You know, how did you decide, hey, I mean you're a serial entrepreneur, right? Basically what you are, you're good at building a business, getting it going, making it successful, making people happy. Why pools? Why did you go that direction?
Because it was litigation. It was your first one, right? Your first business. It just seems like it's different, totally different areas. So what motivates you to get there? how do you arrive to the, okay, I'm going to do promotions at club and run a night there, or what started it?
Well, getting into workers' comp litigation came to me through family. It was my mother's business originally. I took that over when she retired. The nightclub came to me because of a need that I saw. And when you're an entrepreneur, you tend to see a need. And my philosophy as an entrepreneur is, when I'm spending money, I always say, how, if I'm repeatedly spending money and I'm handing money to someone, my philosophy is, how can I get on the other side of this money? So when I'm handing money over, how can I get on the other side of it? So I sometimes create a business where I'm on the other side. So I, whenever I was going out to my clubs, decided I was going to create. Now with the swimming pool business, it was a little bit different. My very best friend, Karen, who's here with me today, who is a brilliant business mind in herself and an MBA holder, we would talk about businesses all the time, has been around the pool industry for almost 10 years herself. Her husband is in the pool industry for more than 20 years here in the local area. And so I've been around the pool industry as long as I've known them. So it's been very interesting to me. He unfortunately wanted to have his own business. He was so busy building pools that he was unable to start a business. So I saw an opportunity for me to build a business. So I started to educate myself. That was about a year before I started. So I started educating myself. Karen said, I want to be part of this as well. So she started going to the contract school to get her license. She got her C53 license, which is the license required to build swimming pools. She went through a very, very grueling education process, got her C53 license, and we opened Stingray. Her husband left the company that he was with, joined Stingray full time, and Stingray was born.
That's awesome. You know, I got to say that it's so funny that a couple things that you said in there that I found interesting, but my past was retail. And it was always terrible being like second in command, but running the show. And you were so busy running the show that when the senior managers came in, you're like, okay, it's my time to shine. But you were literally so busy running the show that you couldn't show off all the work that you had put in. And that the manager right above you was actually getting all the credit. You know, that's like the worst thing. So
isn't that always the story?
Yeah.
That's how I first became an entrepreneur when I was a teenager. Did you, Jason, also have the experience where you were often told, well, Jason, if you think you can do it better, why don't you go do it?
I think everyone's been told that probably at some point.
Yes. And finally, you're like, well, fine.
I will.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
Actions.
That's what happened to me, too. And that's, you know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs have started that way. You know, we've been told, just like everybody else, We have great, great ideas as young entrepreneurs. We go to our supervisors and we say, hey, you know, this is working, but have you thought about doing it possibly this way? And we go respectfully to our supervisors and we say, what about this? And they say, you know what, if you think you can do it better, why don't you just go do it yourself? And ultimately, and it works out for us because entrepreneurial mind is different. Completely different than an employee mind, and it takes both to run a business. Absolutely takes both. And one is not more important than the other. They're just very different mindsets. And an entrepreneur is absolutely necessary, and an employee is. And I think that's just how many of us get.
I would absolutely agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Something you said that was interesting was that you were delegating. Karen is actually sitting right here. You can say hi, Karen.
Hi. Yeah. What's up, Legos?
There we go. So tell us about a contracting school and what happened with that and Stingray, and because it, to me now it sounds like Shadow obviously was relying on your expertise. So just tell us how that got started for you and your perception.
One day she came to me with the light bulb went off over her head. She said, "Aaron, what do you think of this idea?" And it was a moment that was life-changing for me, and it was a challenge, and I felt that it was, I rose to the occasion for, I saw an opportunity to, especially in this area, in Lake Elsinore, the Inland Empire, where it's hot, people want to cool off, it's recreational, it's something that brings people together, keeps them home, and I thought, wow, this is, it'll be a great opportunity for me, both for a career, and I get to work with not only somebody I'm learning from, but my very best and dear friend and my husband. And it was a challenge, and I learned so much. Schooling was very difficult. I was the only woman in my class that passed the degree, and the school made a very big deal about it, because they had not had a C53 female, let alone, they didn't have many C53 grade people pass. And it was challenging because I had to learn electrical plumbing. I mean, it was a very difficult course. Yeah. So
one question I'm going to pose to both of you is, what got you off the fence? Because we're talking about being right here. We all have that moment where you go, fails, it's going to fail big. Or if it takes off, it's going to take off big. You know, we always have to weigh those options. What was the moment where kind of got you off the fence?
I don't think
so. No?
There's no fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never had that moment.
Yeah. Just the look on you right now, Shadow, I can tell there's no fence. But because
honestly, there's no fence for me.
That's awesome.
Honestly.
So,
it's so long ago for me that I don't remember what it was, because I think I was still a teenager when it happened. I started my first business when I was 16. So I tried to go back to corporate world a couple of times, but I still have businesses wearing that. So
probably mostly a gut feeling that early on. You didn't sit there and say, okay, I've got 18 months worth of bills saved up in the bank, and I've got, right, it was probably more of a gut feeling for you at that age.
It's an intuition and a gut feeling, and there is consummate belief that you have to have that it's going to succeed. And if you can find that in yourself and know that you cannot stop no matter what, that and a survival instinct that you have no other choice, instead of I can go back if I want to, that tends to move you forward. You have to accept that you can't go backwards, even though you know you can. But decide that you can. And then you make it work.
Right.
Which is a lot easier said than done. I understand that. But make that decision for yourself. Decide that you are a realtor.
How can you fail with that?
Yeah, no, exactly. That kind of motivation. But that's it.
Like the graphic that you posted. You are what you eat.
Yeah.
I love that.
For those of you listening, I posted this graphic that I don't remember exactly what it said. Something like, you are what you eat, but I don't remember eating a legendary real estate agent or something like that. You know?
I love it.
Even though I might look like I ate another person, but no, but I love that. I mean, for me, it was the point in which, as far as we're talking about the fence, you know, the fence, hopping over the fence. Once you're on that side of the fence, if you can keep running, don't turn back, right? That's the key.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like one of those things where there's always a way to describe a feeling. You know, it's like when you just have supreme sadness, people say like, oh, I had a lump in my throat, right? Or when you had extreme, when you were really scared, the hair stood up on the back of your, like, there's always a way to describe it. And for me, yeah, the butterflies when you're nervous, right? for me, it was one of those things when I realized that my brain was thinking more about business and things that I could create for myself more than what I could do at a job for somebody else. That was the moment for me. That was when I was like, I need to, like you said, hop over this fence and just keep running as fast as you can. And I love what you said before, not to like super circle back, but I am. It's like a jazz tune. I don't know if you guys are into jazz, but the main point of jazz is to like circle back and finish your thought. But anyways, super tangent. But you had said that when you start a business, you like to see when you're like giving out money and you're like, who's getting this money? Like, how much are they getting? And can I do something like that too? I want to say that I've been that way too, which is really interesting. And so if you're thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, I would say that that's it. And you're like, well, what could I do? I think that's a great place to start. Think about all the places that you spend money and decide, you know, where do you want to be on the receiving end of that?
Yeah. How can I get on the other side of this
money? Yeah. I love that. So you can be taking it from somebody else. I think that's cool. Can I ask you, both of you, because I'm curious, what you think success is defined as?
For me, it has a lot to do with relationships. It has to do with positive relationships, with the people that I'm working with looking forward to coming into the office, with looking forward to the phone ringing, that I know it's going to be positive and not dreading the phone ringing, like when your bill collector is calling, versus knowing that it's going to be a customer who's happy or a customer who's complaining versus a customer who wants to add things to their order. It's the relationships of the people that you work with. It's the relationships of the associates that you are dealing with. For example, Jason, my relationship with you at the vendor fair, the people that I met at the vendor fair, it's my relationship. It's my personal relationship. That's success to me. When I'm happy with all of my relationships and my negative relationships have been squashed, I feel success. And that circles around to financial success as well. Because, like I said, bill collectors aren't calling. I'm not having to make phone calls, asking to make payment arrangements on things. So to me, it boils down to for me. What about you?
For me, it's been able.
Yeah.
That to me is huge, even over and above graduating.
Right.
It was that and fulfillment, just feeling really good about going to work every day. My relationship, there's just no need.
You seem like a goal setter. You're like, I'm going to do this. And once you've checked that, that's success for you.
Absolutely.
That check mark.
Absolutely.
I like that.
And waking up in the morning and going, yes.
Yeah.
I love that feeling. What's up, Lake Elsinore?
That's right.
I am so the opposite of that. I never, ever, ever, ever.
No?
I have never ever been goal
set. Let's talk about that
real quick.
Isn't that weird?
Because I feel like that's what we just, the best place to start, that would be finding a goal. That's where you start. So I would love to hear about this.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Is there a subconscious goal? I mean, like you wanted to start Stingray, so maybe you didn't put a date on it, but it was there, or no, it's like.
No, because I just added a division to Stingray.
Okay.
But there was no goal to do that, and we just added a division.
What does that mean?
We added a division. Now we're doing pool care and maintenance. So awesome. Now we're doing pool cleaning, maintenance, and repairs, which was not even an option. We were only doing pool construction. So now we're adding vehicles and doing pool cleaning routes all the way up to Corona and all the way down to Eculon and all the way out to Menifee.
Fantastic.
And we're doing all of that, but it was never a goal. I think it's because I don't see an outside.
It's just so, when you see the need, you just like, go.
There's no
launch.
There's no end.
There's no end.
Because the goal would be there's a finite result, and then we have to find another goal.
I think that's what it is.
Or somebody called and said, and she thought, well, someone's going to get to have their hand and say, I need a pool clean, and she's going to pay for it. But wait a minute.
It should be me.
You know?
I think that's what it is. And it just dawned on me whenever you said goal setter, and I was like, wait,
it just happens. Something comes up, and you're like, launch.
Launch, yeah, literally.
Let's go.
Oh, I can do that.
That
I think every time I see an opportunity, I make a decision at that moment. Does that fit into my, you know, into what I'm doing? No. Okay. Like, do I want to do a maid service? No. That doesn't fit into my scheme of things. Okay. No.
That's not it.
And then I move on, and then I keep going.
Well, I have to say that I've seen a lot of your pictures online of some of the projects that you guys done, and I'm, like, blown away. It's freaking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, and I saw you just posted, like, a 3D rendering of a project you have coming up, and I was like, I wish I got to see my pool, like, ahead of it. It was super cool.
Thank you. That's right here in Lake Elsinore.
Yeah.
That one that I posted.
Where can we, where can everyone find you online? What's your...
Our website is stingraycustompools.com.
Okay. Good. You have a Facebook page?
Yes, it's facebook.com/stingraypools.net.
Interesting. Yeah. Awesome.
Then just a final thought for both.
We talked about relationships. Stingray Custom Pools, Shadow Gray, Karen McRoberts, Rick McRoberts, we're all about relationships. When it comes to business, when it comes to us as we're all about relationships. When we're building pools, when we're handling business, we're about relationships. We want our customers to be happy. We want them to know that we operate with integrity, with quality, with good customer service. We want them to know that it's always, always a win-win situation.
Thank you, Shadow and Karen.
Thank you for having us.
Let's talk about Lake Elsinore Real Estate real quick. John, you want to cover that?
This is your Lake Elsinore Real Estate snapshot as of September 5th, 2018. So we're starting to see summer market prices slow down. That's right. They're coming to a simmer as we near the end of the third quarter. Three bed, two bath, single family homes in Lake Elsinore are seeing a typical price point of about $350,000 and spending about 20 days on market before they sell. In the rental market, we're seeing three bed, two bath, single family homes renting for an average price of $2,100 a month. However, it's taking landlords about 30 days to find tenants. As we all know, real estate is a case-by-case basis. I'd love to hear about your real property. If you have any questions about real property, purchasing real property, leasing real property, or property management, please feel free to send us a message on the anchor.fm app or give us a call at 951-394-3413. Thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.
Once again, everyone, thanks for listening. If you have any questions or comments regarding real estate or the show, please feel free to give us a call at 951-394-3413.
And also, you can download the anchor.fm app. You can send us messages right through the app, which is really cool. Please like and subscribe. It really helps us out.
Thanks again for listening. Take care, Lake Elsinore.
Bye-bye.